All right. Tough crowd. Yeah. Let's try. Psalm chapter 3. Psalm number 3. Psalm number 3. Take a little break from Jeremiah here. Psalm 3. This is the first psalm that has a title in it. It's actually a part of the text itself, the title. And this is when David was running from Absalom. And I know the psalms really got me thinking a little bit differently about music. David writes these psalms and their prayers. I mean, a lot of them are prayers just put to music. And interesting to hear what the music actually sounded like, but they're prayers put to music. And this one is meant to encourage. It's supposed to be, it's an encouraging one, and that's what I'd like to do for you tonight. Encouragement here. And so Psalm chapter 3, David is on the run from Absalom. Absalom's taken over Jerusalem and got a pretty good group of people that are behind him. And David's been forced into the wilderness. And so this is what he writes. It says, "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God." Selah. "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. He heard me out of his holy hill." Selah. "I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people." Selah. All right. That's the song. That's what it sounds like. That's the prayer. And David is in a real mess here. And so hopefully this can be an encouragement to you, because I don't think any of us are in quite the situation David's in. He probably wants to go back to the tending the sheep days. I may get back to those days. Yeah, exactly. Let me get out of leadership. Let me show up to church and not have anything to do. All right, let's pray and hopefully be an encouragement tonight. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your words. Thank you for each soul that's here this evening. Pray that you'd help us go through this and just draw out of it these encouraging things that David encourages himself with by trusting you. And so I pray that would transfer to our hearts and minds, and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So a little bit of the history, got some of the history, but David is really facing some mounting opposition here. Like I said, Absalom's put together a pretty strong conspiracy, and David says that. I mean, he says, "Many are they, their increase that trouble me. Many are they that rise up against me," including his son, who is the leader of all of this. And so he's added, at this point in time, I think he's added Ahithophel to his cabinet. Absalom has, but anyway. And Ahithophel is Bathsheba's grandfather and became one of David's fiercest enemies after all of that stuff with Bathsheba. And so Ahithophel adds, or Absalom adds Ahithophel to the leadership and council and all that kind of stuff. And they're all taking counsel against David. And so he's on the run. And he's fled the capital with all these, all of his supporters, really, and their families, and all of his servants and little ones and all that stuff. They kind of hastily grab what they can grab and get out of town, because there's just not going to really be any way to survive what's going on in this particular time until some things start to change hands and just situation circumstances start to change a little bit. So David gets everybody out of town. He leaves town, and Samuel, it talks about him. He follows the group that's kind of going, and he follows them, and he's weeping and he's crying, and he's just like, this whole thing is just what have we gotten into here? And you know, it's these. This place in life you just never think you would ever get to. And David is there. He is, I mean, from being a shepherd to being king, and then being king and being caught in sin and really doing some bad things. But then now his family is messed up. His son is after him to kill him. I mean, literally to kill him. And it's just not even a situation you could ever think you would ever be in life. And here's David. He's in this situation, surrounded by trouble, trouble within his family, trouble just everywhere. And so this young man that had stood up against the giant early on and really become the hero of the nation, man after God's own heart, all that stuff. Now David's star has kind of fallen, and he's just on the run. He's on the run. He's a fugitive in the eyes of the population, really. And so that's his situation. And the words increased and many. That's the way he describes the mounting opposition to him. Many are they, and they've increased, and really feels like the walls are just closing in. You know, I just can't even imagine it. So that's the circumstances David finds himself in. And in that situation, the enemies, the people who are against David, they see David running, and of course that emboldens them. You know, you see somebody that you're after, and they're scared, and so that emboldens the enemies of David. And so they see David on the run, kind of say among themselves, that's where you get verse 2, many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. So that's what they're saying about David, like God has now abandoned David, and we are the instruments of his judgment. And that's the belief of Absalom and his group. You know, they are going to make right all of the things that David has made wrong in the kingdom. And so seeing David on the run makes them feel like, yeah, God's on our side. He's abandoned David now. The reality is that's not true. That's not really the situation. The appearance is not exactly what's happening. But if they see David on the run, they say among themselves, God's judgment's on David. And in reality, this is not really God's judgment on David. And so when the righteous appear to stumble, you know, the wicked kind of take courage, but the appearances are not what they seem here. It's kind of like when not exactly, I don't want to say it's exactly like this, obviously, but you know, when Jesus Christ is on the cross and you got all the religious people around him just kind of mocking and making fun, like, yeah, you know, if you're so special, why don't you do something about this? And so they see the vulnerability and the weakness in this person that they hate. And they say, yeah, God's obviously against you because you're not going to do anything. You can't do anything about this. You're on the run. You're running for your life. You're in a vulnerable, helpless state here. And so these are the circumstances David finds himself in. And in verses 3 and 4, he makes a confession about the Lord. And this has been his stability for his life, really. He says, "But thou, O Lord," verse 3, "art a shield for me, my glory, the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. He heard me out of his holy hill." What does he mean by that? What's going on here? Well, without going back to the book of 2 Samuel, David's focus is not on his enemies, it's on the Lord. He's got to get away from his enemies, but he trusts the Lord to be the shield, the protector of his life. And so one of the things that's going on here is, if y'all remember a guy named, I think it's Hushai was his name. And he is sent by David to sort of infiltrate Absalom's cabinet and leadership and provide Absalom with some counter advice from Ahithophel. Ahithophel's giving Absalom this advice that he needs to hunt down David with 12,000 men, just send them all out there, just corner David in the wilderness and kill him. And Hushai sent by David, and he gets into the mix of the leadership and some of the strategizing there in Jerusalem, and he suggests that it's a bad idea to hunt down David, because David's a man of war, and he's already got you kind of figured out. What you're going to find out is that you send these men, they're going to be sent into a trap. And so you need to be careful how you just start attacking David. And so Absalom listens to Hushai, and that seems right. And Ahithophel's advice is kind of put to the side. And David understands that all this has happened. Now Absalom's mind has kind of changed about how he's going to hunt down David. It's different. So the Lord has already started to intervene here. He's already started to change what's going on. And that's what David means in verse 4. "I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill." David has proof of that. Their circumstances have already started to be rearranged in that sense. So David says, "The Lord is my shield." And the shield is personal. That's the one thing to note. I think you understand that. And God is not a shield for everybody. He can be. I mean, he can be a shield. But not everyone trusts in the Lord and makes him their shield. So for David, for anybody, really for David in this case, it's personal. He's my shield. The Lord is my shield. And God's not necessarily going to be a shield for David's enemies, but he's a shield for David. And David understands that. He trusts the Lord. Second thing I notice about this, the way David makes this confession, is he's not asking the Lord to be a shield. He's trusting that the Lord is the shield. He's established that God is his protector. God is the one that's made some promises in his life. God is the one that's given him direction and guidance. And so he's not saying, "Lord, be a shield." He's saying, "Lord, you are my shield. You are the one that's going to protect me in this." So David is trusting the Lord to be the shield, and he is. So he declares that. He recognizes really the battle's going to be spiritual here. And some of the inner workings in Jerusalem with Hushai and all that stuff verify that. And so though the battle takes place, a lot of it in the physical world, the nature of it is spiritual. It's kind of like the whole David and Goliath battle. That takes place on a physical field, but clearly that battle is a spiritual battle. If you put David up against Goliath physically, and you're just going to match strength for strength, speed for speed. David is squashed by Goliath. But the nature of the battle isn't physical, it's spiritual. And so David trusts the Lord, and he looks around in that battle, and he wonders why nobody's standing up for the Lord. Why are we listening to this heathen degrade and blaspheme the God of Israel? Like, how can you do that? And he just can't imagine that this is going on. And so he just has a different mentality, and it's the right mentality about these things. And so it's same here. You know, the Lord is my shield. He says, "Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, the lifter up of my head." Lord, you are these things. This is what you are. And he talks about the Lord being his glory. His abilities aren't his glory, and you know, his looks aren't his glory, all that. The Lord's his glory. And this is David's heart, really. It truly is his heart. And so he wants the Lord to be honored, and he's going to give the Lord honor in all of this. And so all these titles, Lord is my shield, Lord is my glory, the lifter of my head, he's the support of David. All these things are true. And so David has this answer to prayer, namely in Hushai, and he gets some confirmation. The Lord heard me, knew he had an answer. It reminds me of some of the things in the New Testament where it talks about, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. David understands the will of God for his life. He understands what God's direction is for his life. And so he prays accordingly. Lord, you are my shield. You're my glory. You're my support. You're the one I'm looking to for help here. And so the Lord moves on the prayers of his people, as y'all know. And his people receive an answer. David receives an answer. And this is the encouraging, I mean, if that's not encouraging, seems to be really encouraging. I read this. First of all, trying to imagine a situation in life like this is really, really difficult. I mean, literally tens of thousands of people are hunting you down. That's tough. David's in that situation. Yet he says this, verse 5, "I laid me down and slept." After this prayer, after this confession, "Lord, you're my shield, you're my glory, you're the lifter up of my head, you're my support," he says, "I laid down and I slept." In the midst of all of this stuff, "I laid down and I slept, and then I woke up. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me." Verse 5. That is, I mean, not only is the tragic nature of the circumstance hard to imagine, but the calm and the trust in the Lord for David is hard to imagine. That you could be in a circumstance like this, pray a prayer, really mean it, really mean, "Lord, you're it. You're my shield, you're the lifter of my head, and I am going to sleep." I mean, that's great. That's so good that he just says that. "I laid me down to sleep, and I awaked, for the Lord sustained me." The confidence. And a couple things about prayer there that I notice. Prayer for David is not a lucky charm. And it's not like something you just sort of throw out there as an option, just like, okay, well, I'm gonna pray a prayer. And it's David speaking to the Lord about what he believes the Lord is. And not just believe, it's what the Lord is to David. He is my shield. He is my support. So it's not just a lucky charm. This is a conversation David has with the Lord, and it's not like let me rub my lucky rabbit's foot or something, or let me check the horoscope or whatever. Send a prayer to the man upstairs. It's, Lord, I trust you. I trust you with my life. I trust you with my future. I trust you with your plan, and I am going to not worry about this. And he says that in the midst of all of this stuff going on. It's just incredible to even think about. I don't know if you guys have the same, you guys that have preached before or taught before, or even ladies who taught before. If you have the same just feeling sometimes of inadequacy, of trying to explain something that you have just no relation, like how do you talk about this? I don't think any of us in this room have ever been in this circumstance, but we love to see someone in this circumstance who is this at peace about the circumstance, as at peace as you can be anyway. I know he hates the fact that his son is the way he is. He hates that. And just his family's turned out this way. But of the things he can deal with, of the things that, put it this way, of the things he can't deal with, Lord, I can't do anything about it. I'm leaving it in your hands. I trust your plan. I trust the future. I trust what you've told me. I'm going to lay down. I'm going to sleep, and I'm going to not worry about this. No tossing, turning, no fretting, anxiety, all that stuff that keeps you up at night. What it does, what this confidence does, it results in rest. It's rest. It's rest. Go ahead, Renee. Amen. Yeah, the Lord is my shepherd, and yeah. I will say, just to, on the other side of this, David is essentially, in this case, he's innocent. He's a sinner. Okay, yeah, that's true. But in this case, he's innocent. And he can trust the judgment and righteousness of God in this case to protect his life and all of that. There are some times, I'll say, and it doesn't have anything to do with this particular psalm, but you stay up all night and you worry about something because of something you've done, and that's right to do. Because, yeah, you're at fault, you're guilty, yeah, you need to wrestle with the sin. You need to wrestle with it. But not in this case. David's not in that position. He's innocent. He hasn't done anything to make this. Absalom would say he's done stuff to make this happen, but God would say no. This is Absalom's doing, and he's not at fault here. So, what it does, it results in his confidence. He says in verse 6, "I'll not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about." Oh, wow. I mean, that's that statement. only David, only a king, only somebody who has that many people around him could make a statement like that and then be worried about 10,000s of people that set themselves against him. Literally, that's what's happened to him. And he says, I'm not going to worry about that. It goes back to, the Lord is my shield. He's my glory. He's the lifter of my head. And though 10,000 people gather themselves around me, I'm not going to worry about it. So it results in David's boldness. He's being hunted. He's outnumbered. But faith replaces fear. His trust in what God said. It just, oh Lord, I'm going to trust you. You are my shield. And once again, this battle is spiritual. It's about spiritual things. It's not the size or the speed of the enemy. It's really the power of God that's going to win the battle. And so the last part of this, verse 7, "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly." It's like you just punched them in the face. "Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people." Selah. So ultimately, God gets the glory. David's cry is, "Lord, save me. I know you will. I trust you. You're my protection. You're my help." And let this be an encouragement to you. Hopefully it can be. If nothing else, you're reading about a man who faces far, far more trouble than you and I face. Yet he can say these things. Surely, surely we could say these things. Surely we could trust God enough for the things we got going on. Surely we could trust God enough for a good night's sleep. Surely we could trust the Lord enough with the things that we got going on compared to what David had going on in his life. So let it be an encouragement to you. David starts off the psalm, "I'm surrounded by trouble, I'm surrounded by trouble." And he ends the psalm with, "Lord, you're my salvation. I'm going to go to sleep and I'm going to rest. And I have confidence, Lord, that you're going to handle all of this." So let it be an encouragement to you, and hope it is. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your words. Thank you for the rest that's provided in your promises and in your words here. Thank you for each soul that's here this evening. Thank you for some good news this afternoon. Folks come in to Roundup Sunday, and I pray they would. Pray that we could have continued contact with all of them. They'll be a good testimony and good Christians around folks that are in our community here. So pray you'd help us with these things. Thank you so much for what you've given us, and I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.